Hello and welcome back to Europe Now. We're in Spain for the latest in our series about levelling up across the European Union. Now, when we say levelling up, people often think about efforts within a country to reduce inequalities. But what about border regions? They have different rules, different legislations, and yet they are very much part of the EU's cohesion policies. Sophie Samai takes a look at that.
The European Union, cooperation without borders. Since the signing of the Maastricht Treaty in 1992 and the creation of the Schengen Free Movement Area, for many European citizens, frontiers and borders are a thing of the past. But each European state preciously maintains its language, its individuality, its laws, its social policies within its official borders. Those differences are all the more visible along the geographical lines between the member states, the EU's internal frontiers, where more than 200 million European citizens live, one in three Europeans. As they crisscross the bloc, these transfrontier zones are at the heart of the EU's Interreg programme, set up in 1990 by the European Commission to boost zones that are spread across two or more countries. Interreg's ambitions are to overcome the border between countries, like providing training for multilingual nurseries or building hospitals that straddle two countries and deal with different social security policies. For the period 2021 to 2027, the current Interreg programme totals €8 billion, drawn from the ERDF. For example, €2 million to build a pipeline under the Rhine to carry excess industrial heat from Kehl in Germany to more than 7,000 homes in Strasbourg, on the French side of the river. And it provides €5 million for the JEDI programme, which aims to facilitate the movement of skilled labour between Romania and Hungary and boost the local jobs market. Then there's the €59.6 million for the Alcotra projects in the French and Italian Alpine region to mitigate the effects of climate change and protect biodiversity. But not all the obstacles between regions can be overcome. Sometimes legal differences or geostrategic disputes are too entrenched. Efforts to create an Interreg programme between the islands of Mayotte and Madagascar have so far proved fruitless.
I'm outside the Spanish National Research Council with the Vice President of its International Relations, Javier Moreno. Welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
So tell us about the importance of this council nationally.
Yeah. Well, we are the largest research performing organisation in Spain. We have about 14,000 employees, among which about 6,000 are researchers, 1,500 PhD students, and more than 6,000 technicians that help in the development of the research.
Mm-hmm. And what are the main things that you're developing that are relevant to the future?
Mm-hmm. Well, we work in all fields of science, actually. We are divided in three big areas, society, life, and matter. So we have from biology to physics, from astronomy to ocean research.
Mm-hmm. And what are the sort of real-world applications of your research in industry, for example?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have a lot of emphasis on transfer, so we work with many companies, we produce patents, we sell knowledge, and we advise public administrations on how to address public policy. So we are very active on the valorization of knowledge and transferring knowledge to society.
Hi, Maria. How's the experiment going?
I'm concentrating two different proteins to try to unite them into a complex solution. The experiment allows us to test the solutions under different conditions to see if they crystallize. Then, through X-ray diffraction, we're able to see their internal structure.
Tell us about the various forms of European funding that you're using here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a long history of accessing EU funds. Mm-hmm. Of course, there is the Interreg program on which we collaborate with bordering regions in France and Portugal. But more recently, and thanks to the Next Generation funds, we have been able to establish new lines of research that required heavy investments that otherwise may not have happened if mm-hmm. it depended only on Spanish resources. Mm-hmm.
So the Next Generation EU funds particularly are important for the next few years of research?
Absolutely. The plan is that CSIC should receive more than 200 million euros from now until 2026, and this will help us set in place specific labs and research lines that otherwise may not have happened.
Mm-hmm. And these goals are very much in line with the European Union's scientific goals, aren't they?
Yes, the Spanish science strategy is very much aligned with the European one, of course. So everything having to do with the green transition and the digital transition are at the core of our research interests, but so are a cohesive society and the pursuit of what we call open strategic autonomy, the fact that Europe manages to navigate better the disruptions in international trade flows, for example, and we need to be a little bit more self-sufficient in some respects.
Javier Moreno, thank you so much for being our guest.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Well, I'm still at the National Research Council in Madrid, and I'm here with one of Spain's most noted macroeconomists, Raimon Torres. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
So tell us about the impact overall of EU funding, if we can take a very broad overview since 1986, when Spain joined the European community.
The impact of the EU funds has been very significant in the case of Spain. It can be said that all the periods of high economic growth have coincided with the injection of EU funds. Today, the unemployment rate of Spain is 11.5%, which is very high by European standards, but it would be much higher without the support of Europe, it can be said.
And how do you assess the impact of the current packages? So maybe we can break that down into cohesion, so for the 21 to 27 period, and the next generation EU funds, the post-COVID package.
The cohesion funds, which had been agreed recently, are very important from the point of view of a new priority for Spain, mm-hmm. which is demographic decline. Spain is a country where fertility rates are very low, and the result is that some regions are getting depopulated. And these funds are now used, deployed, in order to facilitate new infrastructure projects, to try to fix population there, to avoid too much of a decline. Mm-hmm.
And what about the whole levelling up issue? In other words, having similar levels of standards of living in these very different regions of Spain?
Well, this has this policy has worked overall, I would say. We see some regions which had below average per capita income, which have developed very well in the eastern part around Valencia or Galicia, for example. But other parts, in other parts, I would say, is more uneven. For example, in Andalusia, overall, let's say, income per capita, let's say, or the living standards are worse than the rest of Spain. So I would say it varies a lot, although the overall balance is very positive.
And on the next generation EU funds, for which Spain has a high absorption rate, according to the figures, compared to other EU countries, is it too early to say what impact that is having?
It is probably too early. The immediate impact is obvious because we do see already some much more investment in terms of renewable energy. For example, in this place where we are now is a good example of that, the main research center of Spain. We see lots of projects going into renewable energy, the same for the digital economy and digital technology. But I think the apart from investment, what we need to see is one of the main weak points of Spain, which is low productivity. Spain is a low productivity economy. France has much higher productivity. And we hope that through the deployment of the funds in 2026, it will be possible to unlock the productivity potential of the country and therefore the prosperity potential of the country.
But much of Spain's post-COVID recovery money comes in the form of loans. So does that mean Spain is going to get into heavy debt?
The loans amount to the equivalent of 84 billion euro, which is very significant. One has to keep in mind that public debt amounts to around 110% of GDP, of Spanish GDP. It's very close to France in that sense. It's lower than Italy, but yet it's very high. And so it's very important that the funds are used indeed for the purposes that it has to be used, which is to transform the Spanish economy.
Raimon Torres, thank you so much for being
thank
my
you
guest.
For the invitation.
thank you. Now, Interreg is the EU's solution to problems affecting communities across national borders. Luke Brown takes a look at some of the projects that raise the thorniest issues, including migration and healthcare.
Pulling up weeds and putting down his own roots in rural Catalonia. Ahmed Chabou, arrived in Spain by sea from Morocco 5 years ago, age 16.
If you come here, it's already an achievement. You come to look for a good future, to look for work and to help the family, and to set a good example for others.
For the past 2 years, Ahmed has worked in the small village of Talan, population 650. He's one of a dozen beneficiaries of the Avenir project in Spain for unaccompanied minors. It's helped him apply for permits, find a job with the local council, and play a part in village life.
He has all the paperwork to be a citizen. He's registered in the place where he lives. He is part of the community.
Here, the project provides solutions for young migrants like Ahmed, as well as helping slow the declining rural population.
These kids who go to Barcelona, they leave to find work in Barcelona. Then they don't come back. So this project of a young man who can come to work here and stay here because he's well cared for in the region and in the town is very important for us.
The Avenir project received almost 700,000 euros for activities in both France and Spain. Around 30,000 migrants arrived in Spain last year, so the Avenir project is a solution for just a fraction. Its goal is to provide education opportunities and homes.
When you feel at home, when you feel safe, then you can think about other stuff, like where I want to be, where I want to work. We want them to become a part of our community, like not just to work here, not just to live here, but also to participate in social life, to have like a dignity and to be part of our community.
In the Pyrenean Mountains, the communities on each side of the Franco-Spanish border share a language and deep cultural ties. The Cerdanya Hospital is a proud example of that cooperation. It opened in 2014, the EU contributing 18 million euros to its construction. Now it provides healthcare to the 30,000 permanent residents who live on both sides of the border. For French patients, they would otherwise have to drive 80 kilometres for hospital care.
To declare a French birth here, on this side of the border, we had to register with the consulate in Madrid. They helped us with the paperwork here. This way, our daughter will be able to apply for Spanish citizenship when she's 18.
So you have cross-border children? And they're European?
Yes, a little European girl.
The Cerdanya Hospital is unique in Europe and it has to deal with unique problems like ensuring two distinct national healthcare systems communicate, facilitating the repatriation of French patients who die on Spanish soil, and the hospital provides language classes to its medical personnel. While it may straddle national borders, for its director, it's at the heart of the European project.
Si on fait pas une Europe...
If we don't build a Europe that is focused on its citizens, then what do we want from Europe? If we aren't able to make public services at a European level, why would we build a Europe that only works for the economic markets? That would be sad.
The EU's Interreg program in Spain, France and Andorra financed 175 projects for a total of 182 million euros from 2014 to 2020. 113 new projects are already in the pipeline for the next phase.
Well, I'm in the iconic Retiro Park in central Madrid, and I'm here with a noted economist, university professor, and member of the National Council of Economic Advisors, José Moisés Martín. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Let's take a bird's eye view of the Spanish economy, first of all. Of course, it had those big shocks of the financial crisis of 2008 and then COVID in 2020. How much are we seeing an impact of that to this day?
Well, I think that the first part of the recovery after the COVID was quite strong, and at this moment we have a very high level of employment. We recovered this year. We have recovered the level of employment before the financial crisis. That means that we spent 13 years to reach this level. Our GDP is working well. We are resisting the price crisis, and the inflation is one of the lowest of the European Union.
Let's talk a bit about the whole EU dimension and the cohesion funding, the 37 billion euros which have been agreed for Spain for 2021 to 2027. Is it too early to assess the impact of that funding?
I think that at this moment, for this period, is too early, because I have to tell you that 99% of the government at this moment is more worried about the next generation rather than the cohesion funds. Mm-hmm. Even the cohesion fund is about to start right now.
On the next generation EU funds, so the post-COVID recovery funds, Spain has been praised for the level of absorption of those funds, but you're a bit sceptical about the official figures, aren't you?
Yes, I think that the official figure at this moment are figures based in the translation of this, of the transfer from the government to the enterprises, to the firms. But we don't have at this moment a real knowledge of the impact within the firms. That means that we are lacking a real evaluation of the impact of these funds. Mm-hmm. Even if the official figures are showing a very high level of execution, at the end of the day, we have to know if this is reaching the target.
Professor Martin, thank you so much for being our guest.
The pleasure is mine.
Thank you. That's all for this episode from Spain. You can also find us on our website, france24.com, and then tap on Europe Now. Thanks for watching.